What's up, everybody? Welcome back. The ABC Pod, Anything But Credible. It has been a week since we've been back, and a little bit of a different show this week. Griff was unable to make it. He, I guess, came down with some kind of sickness and decided that he would take one for the team and not be coughing the entire time. So it is me and Keith's great privilege and honor to bring on our good friend and probably number one fan of the show so far, I would say, Mr. Joe Helly. What's up, Joe? How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. Just ready to start talking, I guess.
Yeah, you ready to talk a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. And to my left side, as always, the true trooper of the show, Killa K. What's up, Keith?
What up, dudes?
Now, before we get into this, the show and everything, I did want to say a couple things. Number one, if you guys didn't know, we're on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud. As I said last week, DoogieMedia.com is up. That's running. You can find that stuff on there. We are now currently, though, just added to Stitcher. So if Stitcher's your thing, which I believe is the second largest podcast network behind iTunes, I think, something like that. If that's your thing, check us out. You can find all the links through all of our pages. So in other words, you have no excuses. If you don't like the internet, DoogieMedia.com. If you don't listen to iTunes, if you don't listen to Stitcher, if you don't listen to SoundCloud, and if you don't like Facebook, like Keith, or if you don't like Twitter,
you're probably living in a cave.
Yeah, you're under a rock, so no excuses anymore. Good. I got that off my chest. I want to get it out there. We are out there. ABC Pod, all of our stuff, Facebook and Twitter, /ABC Pod. Okay, now, enough of that. Let's get into a little bit of discussion. Now, coincidence having Joe onto the show because we three actually just got back from New Orleans, right?
Yeah, it smells.
Keith's hot take.
Yeah,
New Orleans smells. I actually said something that when I got back, I was like, "Awesome time, great time." But yeah, it was just like kind of shitty. Like it was just like a shitty city.
I think it's just old.
Well, yeah, you know what for I mean? Sure.
It's like, definitely old.
But yeah, it was built a long time ago, and it's never been like torn down and rebuilt at all. Plus, I mean, I guess it floods often, so that doesn't help with the stench.
See, it was my third time there, so the stench wasn't even really a big deal for me.
You're used to it?
But the first time I was there, I had to pretty much hold my nose to drink a beer.
Oh, wow.
It was bad. And it was like kind of rainy a couple times. We were lucky we didn't get any rain. So
yeah,
that really just kind of brings this puke and the
nothing like hot
the piss out of the
garbage
sidewalk on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, it is interesting because you got what Keith was saying about like there's just water, there's just puddles everywhere. You actually warned us. Me and Keith were the rookies to New Orleans. I think one of the first things when we were walking up and down Bourbon Street, Joe was like, "Hey, listen, man, I'm a hot take right now. Don't step in any of the puddles. Don't even if it looks like a little puddle. Don't do it. I've seen some things." And then we were walking with people and we saw a couple guys.
Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick. It happened to Patrick.
A couple guys, they fell for it. And nothing worse than ruin your night with a full shoe in a puddle, man. It's nothing worse. But, so, we were down there for our good buddy Keith's brother's bachelor party. So, we weren't down there necessarily sightseeing, which, you know, is not, I was a little bummed about that. But, you know, hey.
There's a lot to see.
What are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
I gotta say, my thing that I took away from it was we went to, I forget the name of it, but it was the oldest bar in the country, right?
Lafitte's?
Lafitte's, yeah, look that up.
Blacksmith Bar.
Yeah, if you're out there, look that up. I think it was like 1720.
It was like 1775, or like, it's just a couple years before the revolution.
Like that. So we went there, it was really cool, it was still like mostly the same building, you know,
legit
stone
pirate bar.
Yeah, and all candlelit, you know, the only electricity was behind the bar and stuff, and you know, they had like I think they
photo
had a jukebox
that
and
was
stuff.
Apparently that old too,
right? So that was really cool. But walking there, we did not walk down Bourbon Street. We're like, we'll take the back roads. And I don't know if you guys paid any attention to this, but I was, the whole time I was looking at like the architecture, like the buildings and the houses were fucking awesome.
Man. Yeah.
So cool. And it really reminded me, because when I came back, I came right, you know, down here to Soulard, which is kind of like the same thing.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to be able to compare, because that was like legit original.
Yeah.
You know,
they just had a little more money back then. Yeah. Down there compared to St. Louis.
I saw a lot of similarities, but I was just like walking by, and some of those buildings, the way they're made and the way, you know,
the time they put into the details,
like, it's crazy, man. Yeah, I was just like, wow, this is nuts.
Plus, I'm kind of a construction loser, so it gets my dick hard a little bit when I see all the finer things in the buildings.
Yeah, well, something like that, man, where it's just like totally different than the norm today, is you gotta at least take a second and be like, okay, you know,
someone was a real craftsman.
Yeah, yeah, like. And then we came back down here, and I was walking around and stuff, and it was kind of the same thing. Like, oh, I could see, compare
the
similarities.
Yeah, between
because
them,
I don't know what the time frame is between, you know, those New Orleans things and Soulard, but they're definitely a lot similar.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, both river towns. I'm sure they're close, but
I think they were both established by the French too.
Right. Yeah. Right. So. Yeah. So, yeah. What else? Other New Orleans info?
Oh, it's got to be the Bar Rescue, John Taffer. Oh,
the Bar Rescue.
The shot chair.
The huge buildup for the chair.
Oh, man. Okay. Let me give a little intro to this. I have to admit, I don't know about you guys. I know I personally, a huge Bar Rescue fan. Huge John Taffer fan. You guys ever get
Taffer
into that?
For president, man.
Dude, Taffer is the real deal, right?
His bar science will fix this country.
It's science, dude. It works. It's science. Well, I have seen a few New Orleans episodes, and the one that I saw was, two, three years ago, maybe, old. And Joe, you went down to New Orleans, was it last year or two years ago?
Last year, right around the same time.
Last year. And I remember Joe, you getting back, and one of the first things I asked you was, dude, did you go to... whatever the fuck that
is. Spirits on Bourbon.
Spirits, yeah. So Spirits, this whole thing was, what's the really famous place on Bourbon Street that has the hand grenade cups that you walk around?
Tropical Isle.
I'm going to shorten that to Traps because I don't feel like saying that every time.
So I hear Traps, I think of Missouri State.
Yeah, shout out to Springfield and now current St. Louis Traps, Tropical Liquors. That's our thing. Anyway, so they have this famous hand grenade, right? It's like bright green, it's got this crazy, it's really big, and everyone's like, oh my god, you know, where'd you get that at? This place tried like copyrighting that or like stealing their thing and did like a actual grenade cup. John Taffer comes in there, is like, no, you gotta get your own thing. Gives him a cup or something, which we didn't even get one of those cups, but the main thing that he incorporated in this place was he basically knocked out the front doors. So it's just completely wide open. You just walk in.
Like a garage opening.
Yeah, like a garage opening. And he just put in this old school, awesome, like, barber's chair. And the whole thing is, like, you get this special shot. And then, like, we were saying if it, like, these, like, hot, really hot girls come out and, like, sit on your lap and, like, pour liquor straight out the bottle into your mouth, and it's supposed to be like a thing so everyone sees you on the
sirens go off,
and they're like, crazy.
50 more people want to walk into the bar, and it's just all about curb appeal.
It looks awesome on the show, and I was like, awesome. And then Joe came back, and Joe's like, yeah, man, we did it was cool, like, cool place. But I'm like, oh, dude, it's sweet. So we're going to New Orleans. I'm like, we're definitely stopping there. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Now, when we go for this search, it was probably, what time do you think?
It was about two.
Yeah, I was gonna say it had to be two.
Okay, so not as late as I actually thought. So I was actually gonna give it you got to give it a little leeway because of time, but that's not really that late.
No, so, not for New Orleans. That's pretty early.
Yeah.
So this place was so unappealing and so non-standoutish that we literally couldn't find it.
Yep.
We walked up and down Bourbon Street three times. We were on our third time, and we literally huddled. We're with four guys, and we all huddled together, and we say, all right, I give up. Fuck it. Let's go to blah, blah, blah. As we say that, the fourth guy, shout out to Dixon, he says, is that what you guys are looking for?
Yeah, we stopped about 8 feet short.
Yeah, we were literally right in front of it, and we still couldn't tell that it was this place. And we turn over, like, oh, my God, that's it. We walk in. There was
five.
I don't even know. Say in the a whole total bar. Of four people in there. Yeah.
And I think they worked there. I think they had just got done with the shift.
That's very possible.
Because they were sitting at the very end, and they were like, I don't know. They were in like they weren't wearing street clothes.
There wasn't even music going on.
No
there
music.
Was like it'd come on for a second, like, and then just silence.
No lights. Like there wasn't like lights going. The only thing that like stood out to me, when this is really fucking sad, was that they had it that they had two TVs going at the top of the bar. And they weren't playing sports. They weren't playing the news. They were playing the goddamn rerun commercial of their bar episode.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a reel of the bar
episode. I thought, is that a necessary thing just to keep that rolling? Hey, we were on Bar Rescue. This was cool at one time.
It was Taffer was here.
The episode was like 3 years old, and they were playing it on repeat, like living the glory days. Like, guys, this place is a fucking shithole.
That was ghost town.
Then we go to finish it off by Joe says, well, we're here. We might as well get a drink. Some guy walks in. Yeah, it's up, dude. And Joe's
drunker
like,
than all three of us.
Oh, yeah. We're just hammered. And Joe says something like, let me get blah, 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 blah. And he says, okay, dude. And what'd you get? We only got two drinks, right?
Two mixed drinks, two beers.
Two, like, vodka water or something. Yeah. Whatever it was, a whiskey Coke. The guy hands it to him and says, that'll be 18. No, wait. 22. No, wait. 27. Wait, dude, how much is it? He like, didn't he ask you like how much? Or no?
He's like, what'd I say?
He said, wait, like, what'd I say? Like,
you said 18.
I think it's like 26. It was like a really random number. Like, I think it was like $26, dude. Which was like, whatever. Just take like here's like $40. Then the guy comes back. He's like, how much money did you give me? Like, how much? Just could not figure out the change.
One of the
situation.
Dumbest bartenders I've ever.
And we were like, oh my god, let's get out of here. And I just remember walking out. Back to Bourbon Street and just being like, wow, that was...
There was some disappointment on your face.
I was very disappointed. Oh, yeah. I had looked up to that for...
Mind-blowing experience.
For legit a couple years. And especially hearing you having a good time. And it was so, you know, it was so dead and so non-existent that you could tell that no one had even sat in the shot chair for a very
Plus,
long time.
How many bars have two guy bartenders?
Exactly.
Like, that's a good time.
There wasn't even, it almost was like Taffer put like it wasn't even like a neon sign outside. It was literally nothing to know. And I just, you know, while you're watching this show, you see sometimes those owners that John Taffer says in the show, I just know this guy. As soon as I leave, he's going to change all this shit, blah, blah, blah. I don't think this guy changed anything.
It seemed the same as in the show, but
yeah, they just suck at running.
I think
he
just gave up.
They just ran it to the ground.
That's
don't know.
That's what it seemed like.
God, man, I thought about that for a long time.
I think you're a little hung up on this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not joking. You know, we go out just about every Saturday together. Saturday night, we go out, you know, have some fun, drink and stuff. And then Spike does it to me, man, on Sunday when I'm laying around doing nothing. They play just an 8-episode marathon of Bar Rescue. And every fucking time I sit there and I watch the same episodes that I've seen multiple times.
And every episode's the same.
Before I know it, 5 hours later, I'm like, God. Damn, Taffer. God damn it, Taffer. Got me again. And so, yeah, that hurt. But enough of me. You guys got any, what did you guys take away from the trip overall?
Wow. I know I said it smelled or whatever, but that place is so much fun. I definitely want to go back.
Yeah, we're definitely not trying to knock New Orleans. It was a hell of a time, hell of an experience. And somebody asked me, would you go back? And I said, in a heartbeat.
Oh,
for sure.
And we went experience Bourbon Street. We from our hotel, we went two blocks east and about 6 or 7 blocks.
Yeah, we weren't on a sightseeing trip. No, we are on a mission to get as drunk as possible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded venturing out a little bit, showing you guys a little bit of what I've seen years before.
Yeah. Well, we tried that a little bit, but the Bachelor had his own mindset.
It's easy to say that this group isn't the most adventurous group. We have fun, but not
when alcohol is presented.
Yeah,
once alcohol's in the equation, there's that's all we're doing.
Just walking is not preferable.
Yeah,
for anyone.
Yeah, right. Well, we managed to what was the first night we stayed out till what, 6, Joe?
Yeah, 5:36. Well, we came in at 4, and then we went on a quote-unquote rescue mission back out. We had to go check out a few more places.
We lost
and,
one.
Came back around 6.
Second night was 7-something, right?
Yeah,
but bedtime was about 7. Sun was up.
So yeah, total weekend. If you're looking for a weekend filled with just people, alcohol, and definitely no sleep, I highly suggest New Orleans. It definitely took me a solid 2 to 3 days to fully recover and
oh yeah,
and sleep off.
Not your family friendly vacation.
No, I felt like I was like detoxing off heroin or something. Like I was just, like Monday, I was just like fetal position, like
yeah.
And you didn't go to work. I worked on Monday.
Yeah,
it
sucks.
Yeah, dude.
There was some quitting moments in my head. I wanted to go home.
Yeah, I definitely took off Monday knowing I was gonna have to recover, because I get bad hangovers.
I thought the best way is sweat it out and get back on track.
That is true. That is a good way. Yeah.
I felt good about.
Did you like cramp up at all?
No, I just slammed water as much as I could.
Yeah, good call.
The other thing, I don't know if you guys even noticed this, but do you guys realize that we had the weirdest fucking flight attendant announcer going down there?
I think that's kind of normal for party cities like that in Vegas.
Oh really?
I want to say like Vegas flights, they like take their tops off and jump around or something. Just not, you know, you're going to New York, they're professional or something like that. But if you're going to party cities, like these people, we know what all these people are going to do.
Yeah, I mean maybe that is.
Well, we didn't even pay for any of our drinks on the flight down, which is
that was
still a mystery to me.
I was talking,
I had two. Dixon had six. Might be in the record books for under a 2 hour flight.
Yeah,
and one of them might have been a double.
40 minutes. Yeah,
yeah. It was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking bar science, Taffer bar science,
oh,
Southwest Airlines would have been. They would have got Taffer on the
classic
bad day.
Sign of bartenders getting tipped. Bar seeing no money.
Yeah, they gave away a lot of money. Even though they're the only those little dollar,
the airplane bottles.
But yeah,
still, we drank about 20 of them. So,
yeah, that was just on the way down. Yeah, that was a good time. Who'd we sing happy birthday to? A doctor or something?
Yeah, that was the thing.
That was cool. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. That guy was weird, man. He'd get on there and he'd just start making weird noises, and he was doing weird sayings. Weird sayings. And then he even made a couple Delta jabs. You didn't catch that?
No.
He was like something like along the lines of so we're flying Southwest. Thanks for flying Southwest or something. He was like, you know, we're going to have a good time, but, you know, if you wanted to pay $1 million, you should have flown with Delta.
Shots
fired.
The airline wars. It's a real thing, man.
I'm flying Delta Tuesday, so I'll have to let them know. But hey, Southwest, coming after you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so they did this thing where I don't know why. It was a birthday thing, but he made everybody turn their little lights off above their
I like that.
Above their
I thought
seats.
That was neat.
Yeah,
and
I thought that was cool.
I've never flown at night. It was always daytime, so they closed all the windows, and it was pretty dark in there, and we turned our candles on, the book lights.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I forget, did we actually sing to him? I don't
think
we sang
happy birthday.
I was trying to sleep, so I wasn't about to.
Oh, yeah. And it was one of the most awkward times when you say, oh, happy birthday to Keith or something. You know, no one heard his name. They're like,
I just
happy
said
birthday.
Doctor.
Yeah, I remember Keith. I actually do remember waking up being like, what the fuck's going on? And then Keith just screaming, happy birthday. I'm like, oh, God damn. What is going on right now?
Just getting turned.
So good time in New Orleans. Let's move on. Listen, we were off last week, and then we had the whole week, basically 2 weeks, to come up with stuff. I'm just wondering, you guys, it's been a little bit of time. You guys got anything to get off your chest before we really get the show rolling?
Oh, I do.
You got something,
Keith? Oh, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Hit me with it.
All right, so I'm watching the Cardinals game the other night. It's a Cardinals-Mets game. I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago. It doesn't matter. There was a guy in the stands. He accidentally threw his hat because he was getting up to wave it, and he accidentally threw his hat. So the TV camera, I mean, it's a baseball game. They have nothing else to talk about, so sometimes you get commentary on the fans. So the camera's on this guy. He goes and picks up his hat. He's at a Cardinals-Mets game. His hat is an Atlanta Braves hat, and he has on a Pittsburgh Pirate shirt.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. I'm sorry. If you're that guy, I don't think we can be friends. I really don't. Okay. I have one rule for sporting events. You either have to show up in the home team's jersey or the opposing team's jersey.
Okay, all right.
You can't go to a Cardinals-Mets game in a Braves hat and a Pirates t-shirt.
Especially just, with two different teams.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that, like, guy wearing hat and jersey is he just like, together.
Is he that guy like, I love baseball, so I'm going to wear every team. Like, what? that makes no sense. Like, yeah. Where's your loyalty? Just pick one and roll with it, man.
Well, that doesn't that kind of point you out as someone with no loyalty? That kind of points you out as the guy that literally doesn't know anything about sports.
Bandwagon.
Yeah, it's just like a guy that's like, I'm here, I didn't know what to do, so I just put everything on, you know?
But I'm pretty sure the Braves are, like, the worst team in baseball right now, so.
Well, I can understand you, like, not, I mean, I just, actually, I take that back. I don't get it. I've done things where I've gone to a Blues game and worn a Cardinals hat, and even that feels kind of weird to me, like mixing the sports within your own city, but to wear multiple cities.
Yeah, I love wearing the Blues gear to the Cardinals game.
Well, I like that too because it you know, here in St. Louis, baseball is king. Okay, yeah. Baseball runs this city. Now the Blues, we have a solid hockey team, we have a solid hockey fan base, but Cardinals come first no matter what.
But they're doing as much as they can to, stay together and be together as much as they can.
Yeah, yeah, they do support each other very well.
Yeah,
that's what I do enjoy.
And I don't know, Keith. Would you classify yourself as? I would say you're more of a hockey guy than a baseball guy, or would you say no?
Oh, Keith's no, I'm a big time baseball guy. Okay, well, I love me some baseball,
and apparently football before hockey almost too.
It was before.
Oh, let's not get in. We can't get into that.
Can't get into Crocky.
He's about to get into his feelings, man. But yeah, so me and Joe are hockey guys. We like to walk in there with some Blues gear and be like, "What's up?" Well, where were we? What were we talking about? How did we
got off the jerseys?
Yeah. Oh, the jerseys. Yeah. Did you say that they were they all baseball teams?
Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say if he was wearing like some football stuff, then it really would have been like, get this guy out.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't deserve a ticket in my mind.
Damn.
I should have never let him in the stadium.
Yeah, Keith. You told me that a while ago, actually. You're fired up for a while about that.
Oh, dude, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you do that?
What about you, Joe? Anything get off your chest?
Nothing?
Nothing. I got something.
All right, laid on us.
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night, or yesterday, I guess. I just don't understand fucking crosswalks, man. I don't get it. I don't get it. Okay. Now, I get, if you call, do you classify a crosswalk that goes from one street corner to another street corner? Is that a crosswalk?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I get those. I get those on the streets. What I don't get are the ones in front of businesses, like the ones in front of Walmart, the ones in front of basically every grocery store. I do not understand these fucking things.
The 3 mile long dash. They cover freaking lines.
They cover the entire front of the store, in the entire parking lot. Well, majority.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I do this thing now where when I go into any parking lot like that, I don't even go towards the front because, okay, here's what I don't get. Okay, this is what drives me fucking nuts. People walk out the store, walk straight out into that crosswalk, and they don't even look.
No. It's now, there right away.
People are going to say, well, that's what a crosswalk is supposed to. Well, here's the thing. I'm driving a 2,000-pound vehicle, okay? And I've always been the kind of guy, like, even if you're crossing the street and I got a green light, I'm not going to like floor it at you, but I'm not going to stop there and be like, give you the wave, like, okay, go ahead. No. I got the car. I bet you're going to get out of the way. That's how I feel about it. It just drives me crazy. So these people will walk out of this store, not even like, okay. I mean, people are like walking out, looking down, they're looking at their phone, and they're just expecting people. I'm surprised I haven't seen somebody get smashed yet, like literally legit hit. And if I did, I mean, depending on how bad it would be, if it was just like a minor thing, I would roll down my window and just be like, ha, son of a bitch. You know, if they didn't get actually hurt, like if they didn't get really hurt, I'd be like, oh, shit. But if they weren't that bad, I'd be like, fuck you. Because, like, think about this, man. How you expect, okay, like, I'll use Walmart as an example. All
right.
Walmart never stops being busy. There's people constantly coming in and out. How do you expect multiple cars to go through that area, which is not just like a street one, it's like Keith said, it's big. How do you expect them to? I mean, I've had it multiple times where you go and you actually say, oh, I got stuck. Next thing you know, you're sitting there for 10 fucking minutes.
There's a train of like six cars going
by. Nobody says, like, hey, you know, this guy should come should come through. They say, well,
that's my go-to. Every time I cross, like, yeah, just a little eye contact and a wave.
That's why my thing is I don't stop. I do like the rolling stop sign, and I'm just going to keep going. Unless it's like a kid. I'll stop for like a little kid. But like, listen, I'm going to go because fuck you. I got this big thing that'll hurt if you get hit with it. Yeah. It's not going to hurt me. You know, maybe if you sue me or something, but like, you know, physically it's not. So, man, I was thinking about that the other day. I just think about it and get fired up because it's just like, people, if you walk out of the grocery store, man, at least, I'm not saying you don't need to go and walk through the crosswalk, but at least give me a little bit of respect. At least like
acknowledgement.
Yeah,
that
give
I'm
me
there.
like know that, okay, this guy could run me over if he wanted to.
I think it should work like a 4-way stop. Like, you let a couple cars go, then you have the right of way. And then
why can't we do it like a regular corner where they have a fucking sign and the Walkman shows up and says, okay, now you can
like
cross.
The after school special guy.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying like on the street corners when you hit the button thing says it has the hand, like don't go. Then it has the Walkman, go. Why not put one of those little things in there and it just goes like every like
30 seconds.
Like 3 minutes or something. You sit out there. Because listen, if you're not a weirdo, okay, you cross the goddamn parking lot like a normal person, and you don't worry about a crosswalk. You just say, hey, there's not a car here. I'm going to cross.
And while we're at it.
Why? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The guys that, when they're, after they get done with the crosswalk and they have to go down their aisle.
Oh, God. Hug the cars.
Down the side. See, you don't need to go down the fucking middle.
Now we're talking.
You know why
they do that, Joe? Is because
they want to piss me off. That's what they want
to
do.
It's because they got the right to walk out the store across that crosswalk without any cares. So why not walk in the middle of the aisle? I don't care. Hey, pedestrian right, man.
Yeah.
We get
the
right.
They're the first people to get in their car and honk at someone else doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And some guy rolls a stop sign. They roll their window and they're like, hey, man.
Why don't you stop next time?
Yeah. Oh, I've gotten the finger shake a couple times that people just stand by a crosswalk. It's a crosswalk.
We were just talking in high school. I used to take Keith home from school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One time we were dropping him off, and some lady followed us for like 3 blocks from the last stop sign and like pulled over when I got out of her car and came up to my window and was like, you ran that stop sign back there. And I was like, wait, you mean that one that was like 5 blocks ago? Okay, maybe. And it was like pouring down rain.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in a Jeep Wrangler. And I just slid through a little bit and then just like, fuck it, kept going. No one's there. Yeah. She's like, I'm like,
city stop.
Yeah, it's a city stop. I actually slid through it. And she like got it long. It was a long story. She got really weird and like
she
started talking about.
She obviously had nothing important to do that day.
Oh, yeah. She brought up her son that like had to get his foot cut off because he like hit the pedal wrong or something. I don't know.
Call the news team, lady.
Yeah, we were in high school. Like, get away from me.
Call Elliot Davis.
But yeah, so that's one of the things. I actually have a couple of things to get off my chest. What do you got? You got something else, Keith?
No.
All right, I got something else. I'm sorry, guys, but you know, it's been 2 weeks. The other thing too, I probably should have led off with this one, but this kind of goes back to our trip. You know, we flew both ways, obviously. You know, it was only an hour and a half flight, and I actually flew in July internationally. And the takeaway I have from this is one question. Why does every single person that works at the airport hate their fucking job? Why? Somebody answer me this. A legit answer. Let me stop you real quick because there is minor things. I get the people that are like cleaning fucking like airport bathrooms. Yeah. I feel bad for the janitors. Man.
Everyone hates cleaning shit.
Yeah. But I'm talking like flight attendants, like, you know, you're flying and you're going from places. You get to stay in that place for a while.
Oh,
you know,
I think the flight attendants aren't the most mean people in the airport.
Maybe not, but I don't know.
I think it's because, like, everybody's really confused and, like, nobody really has, like, a firm grasp of what's going on. That's just the way I feel about it.
That's a good point.
That just, like, trickles down to everybody. It's like, well, I don't even know. Then why should I care?
So you think they just, because they're just dealing with confusion all day?
Yeah, you get a lot of people that aren't, like, going on vacation. They're just there to travel for work.
Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of dumb questions. And so they're going to have to deal with all these dumb people. Like, where's the bathroom? Like, 15 feet that way with a big fucking sign that says men.
The thing I took away was I felt like everybody was really pissed except for we went to that sidebar that only had like four people. It was like really one of those, like, they just put a bar there because that's where a waiting room was, you know? Mm-hmm. And like that guy was cool. He had a good time. But like everybody else, actually, you know, I think about it, I don't know. The security people weren't that bad, but I'll tell you right now. Maybe it's an international thing, but when I flew internationally, the customs, man, those people were mean. Like, they were like, these ladies would literally, like, even if they weren't at the airport, I think they would bite your head off, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they were like, now, granted, it was like 4 a.m, I'll give them that, but that's your job. But they were like, I don't know. I guess internationally is a whole different. It's probably what you're talking about. It's even more confusion. Yeah, and it's a lot more serious. So they probably do deal. I don't know. Maybe more people are sympathetic. I don't know.
Would they all they all speak English?
They have a job to do. I was just like, this is your job. You chose it. Be happy. Make the best of it.
Yeah.
Don't have to be miserable every day you get up. You make yourself miserable. That's the way I feel about it.
So I'm thinking, like, I'm on this flight to the Dominican Republic, and the flight attendants, some of them, they just don't look that happy. I'm like, you guys, and it happened, and this is like a small airline, too. It's not even like they deal with massive amounts of people. But we actually had, like, the same crew come back. So I'm like, like half of them, I get, like, most of them. So I was like,
I guess if it's smaller, they only have so many people on planes anyway.
So you guys just got to stay in the Dominican for a week, you know?
Well, they're probably working the whole time you were there.
You think they're going flights back and forth?
Yeah, every day.
You think?
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, a plane doesn't just sit there.
Flight's like 4.5 hours.
They get as much work out of that plane as possible. It's just flying back and forth.
I guess it was a straight shot to St. Louis, so maybe they were. I didn't think of it like that, but that's probably right, I guess.
Yeah, it probably makes sense, but...
Yeah,
they're not just having $1 million aircraft just sitting on the tarmac waiting for Nick Dugan to come back when
I should sign up, make a petition for that or something. This guy's last thing before we move on to the theory of the week. This is not to get off, I guess it is, but just a side note. I am going to start a petition for ketchup to be demanded. I demand more respect for ketchup. Even on this goddamn trip that we went on, week before that, it's been brought up, and I don't appreciate the lack of respect for ketchup.
Ketchup on hot dogs is for children.
Don't agree.
It's the only way to eat a hot dog.
As long as you put some mustard on it as well, ketchup's acceptable in my mind. I ketchup mustard all the time.
I don't think you were saying that before.
I don't think so either, dude.
No,
Now we're recording. Yeah,
now the world can hear what you're really saying, and you're jumping on ketchup's bandwagon.
Oh, to play devil's advocate at the airport, that's why I was about it.
Well, how do I know what you're really feeling when you're just... Yeah.
Here's my thing.
Well, put mustard on your goddamn hot dog. That's the only way to eat a hot dog.
Well, what about somebody like me that just doesn't eat mustard ever on anything?
What? Yeah. You don't eat mustard?
I cannot stomach mustard.
Oh, dude. See, I was that way when I was younger, but like, something changed, and like that one day I was like, you know what? Mustard smells kind of good.
I smelled it.
I don't know if I've ever done that, but I've tried it, and I was like, all right, it's not bad.
Yeah, so then I think it came on a cheeseburger once, and I was like,
when it's mixed.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, McDonald's and all those Jack in the Box, when they put the mustard, they mix it with the ketchup and some other sauce. Like, so you can't even taste that. That don't count. But all I'm saying is, like, my mom, I got a pretty decent-sized family. I've had a decent amount of friends, I would say. You might be the only... Well, you and the other... Who else was it? Matt that brought it up. Some other guys brought it up. But you guys are the only ones I've ever heard that's been, like, strictly mustard on...
I thought that was a Seinfeld episode.
I don't know.
It's like, strictly mustard on your hot dog. It's like
20 seasons of Seinfeld. I think only you and... No, never mind. Tons of people watch that show.
I was going to say, that was, like, the number one ranked show for, like, 10 years.
Oh, yeah, it's huge, dude.
I was going to say our age.
But anyway...
It's a little before our time.
Listen, all I'm saying is, I read a couple stats, and all I'm saying is ketchup was the...
it's got to be like one of the highest selling.
I think it was number two. It wasn't number one, though. I forget what number one was.
Mayo. Americans.
Oh, it was. It was mayonnaise. Yes, it was. Nice. It was, yeah.
I love mayo.
Mayonnaise was number one, which actually I was very interested
mayo's by. Mayo's in like so many recipes compared to ketchup.
And ketchup, yeah. When you get ketchup, you're getting just ketchup. Yeah. I mean, unless you're like... how do you eat a meatloaf, Keith? How do you eat a meatloaf?
I actually eat barbecue sauce on my meatloaf.
God, what the fuck?
It's good.
I really don't like meatloaf, so...
What the fuck?
He's a picky eater.
little bit. Yeah. I don't know, man. You just sit there. You're gonna just.
I've definitely gotten down on ketchup and meatloaf.
Ketchup is the one condiment that you could put on any kind of meat. See,
my family made it, ketchup was already on there on top. It was like a
topper. That's how you make meatloaf. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You put ketchup, but it's not barbecue sauce. It's ketchup.
Well, no, I take that and then I dip it in barbecue sauce and I eat it.
That's just stop,
dude. Do you put ketchup on your steak?
No, but I have before, though.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, you can. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I can't even take you serious now.
I've heard of people doing that. Like,
oh, dude. I know multiple people that do it.
No, if that's your thing, like, no. But I'm just saying, like, that's not weird. Okay.
I witness it. I'm just
this
saying.
This might gross people out because I've heard this before, too. But my last statement that I'm going to say before I end this is that ketchup is found in over 95% of all households in America. Just saying. And lastly, I cannot imagine a world where I did not eat my breakfast and my eggs and any form of potato without ketchup. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm off that train. No ketchup and eggs.
No, yeah. That's hot sauce and eggs.
Everyone out there listening, if you have not put ketchup on your eggs, I'm telling you, you won't go back.
Let me ask you this. Where do you keep your ketchup?
We brought this up in the first episode, right?
Yeah. You've talked about this.
You keep it in the cabinet until you open it, then it's fridge only. But yeah. I actually just go straight to the fridge. I do that with like my salad dressing, all that shit. You just go straight to the fridge.
I don't need like six bottles just waiting to be opened. If I run out of a bottle of ketchup, then I'll pick up another one.
Extreme coupon, bro?
No.
Okay, enough of ketchup. So I think you know what that means, right? Oh. It's time, Theory of the Week. Now, we got to switch it up a little bit because this was supposed to be Griff's week, and Griff is on his deathbed or something along those lines. He might be passed out in a dumpster like we talked about
over 50% of his life he's been passed out.
I don't know, but Keith's going to take it over for us. What do you got, Keith?
Okay, this week's topic. See, a lot of people don't want you to know this, but the Earth...
Not going to lie, I'm really excited right now.
...is actually hollow.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Earth is hollow, and there's certain openings on the North Pole and the South Pole, and surprisingly, just in the middle of Kentucky somewhere, some cave. So,
probably where this idea originated.
Yeah.
In the backwoods.
We just happen to have a hole, too.
So, I mean,
they were drinking moonshine all day, like, hey, I think we got a hole, too. It's probably in one of them damn near caves over.
So Bruce Walton and William Morgan, they were sent by the Freemasons to Kentucky to go into the Hollow Earth.
Do they have a name for like the entry points? I mean, they got to have something cool for that.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just
like the Devil's Mouth or something. Yeah. You know, like something cool.
Some sort of portal.
Yeah.
But that's why they say there's been so much U.S. activity in Antarctica. Because we're actually traveling
through them.
Oh, yeah. Because there's like, there's inner Earth people. And supposedly they're like the wisest people on Earth.
My knowledge, I think they're crab people.
Oh, really? Is that what they call them?
See, yeah. I was about to lay another a sub theory on top of yours right now.
Dude, go for it, man.
Now, I'm a big foot guy.
Oh,
huge in this question. There is a theory out there that Bigfoots co-inhabit with aliens in this place that you're talking about.
Oh, so you've heard of this?
I have heard about this in the sense of the Squatch, because people wonder, why don't we always ever see Squatches? They're actually in the center of our Earth. And what the aliens do is they basically made them their little bitches, because aliens are super smart and they like have crazy technology, obviously. And so what they do is when they really need some shit, like...
drop some knowledge on them, like, hey...
They're like, hey, dude, we really need a deer or something, you know? Send the Bigfoot out there.
Oh.
Snatch one up. Then that's why somebody might see him. And you might not see him again for years because they got like a rotation. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
And like you said, since they're going through the middle of Earth, they're popping up all over the place.
So that makes sense, because like they designed the certain type of like a Yeti, like for cold weather. You know what I mean?
The Yeti is like an evolution thing of like thousands of years or whatever. So this has been happening. Sorry, keep going.
So, I mean, Hollow Earth, it's got to be real. And
I've only dug a couple feet down, so.
You got a little bit more to go.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep digging, bro. So yeah, there's people out here. This is one of the stronger beliefs in people that there is a hollow earth, and the U.S. has activity down in Antarctica, just going in and out of the earth, talking to the aliens, I guess, and the Bigfoots.
Yeah. What is the significance of Antarctica? I don't get that.
That's where an entrance is.
Yeah.
Into the hollow earth. That's why there's so much activity up there. Well, there's one in the North Pole too. So
if you're asking like the activity, it's like why would anybody want to be down there? Like yeah. That's why people are like, why are they down there? Like
our research.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're researching that. It's just we're just protecting our portal or whatever you want to call it.
It's like, yeah, dude, that's nothing down there.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of ice.
quit looking down here.
But yeah, that's a, you know, a while, not a while ago, kind of a while ago, they had a little thing came up on Twitter or something about people started believing that the world was flat again. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
He was like, I like put that shit to rest. Was like, no, bro. And then now it's funny because this comes up and I could see this being like the next wave of stuff. Like, what? Now it's hollow. You know, it's like, oh, it's hollow. You know, like, well, it's not flat. No, it's not flat. It's just hollow.
It's just hollow, yeah.
But think about it, people out there. Squatches. It makes
sense. It always comes back to
squatches. It makes sense. Aliens, squatches, together. They've actually been even further that the aliens, like thousands of years ago, they basically just, like he said, they would do these different entry and exit points and then leave them there for a while, like way back in the day, and then they would evolve to be like a Yeti, you know, not necessarily a Squatch. Like they'd be like, all right, you're going up to the mountains, bro, and you're gonna stay there and evolve into this thing. And so they don't actually, aliens aren't actually there, they just like kind of like planted their seed, you know. Yeah. What I'm saying, like they're operation. Mm-hmm. There and the Squatches / Yetis are like their workhorses, you know.
Muscle.
I believe in the hollow earth, the squatches. I mean,
I think
I don't.
Ancient Aliens might have done an episode. Oh, that's yeah. They for sure have done an episode on that.
On squatches.
On the alien squatch theory. Check that out.
Okay, yeah. I was just saying, I thought you were talking about they did a hollow earth one. I'm like, I don't remember that.
Well, this technically they don't say straight up hollow earth, but it, you know,
they just talk about like caves. I thought they just thought, like they're underground. They have big areas, but it's not like hollow. It's just like huge palaces of squatchiness.
These people are saying like there's no such thing as the inner core of the earth. Like,
see that?
Like, it's just
that
straight up hollow.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I'm picturing like just like 100 foot of dirt and then just nothing.
Right? Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, there you have it. Theory of the week. If you didn't know, the earth is hollow. It's not flat, but it's like hollow. And it might be inhabited by Bigfoots / aliens.
I said it's plausible if like gravity reverses in there. They're just standing the opposite way we are.
I guess.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like you walk down the cave and then you go so far and then gravity pulls you back towards the core. Or not the core, the outside. So you're standing like, so we're standing on Earth. Their feet are the closest point to us. So their head's towards the core that's not there.
Whoa, Joe's getting deep with this.
So it's like almost like a whole other world. There could be millions.
There could be anything.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost like they're hanging upside down like bats.
Yeah, but it feels,
you know,
normal.
I mean? Why do you think bats have hung?
And they probably have some like alien sun in the middle.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. They probably
gotta have light somehow.
Yes. And, you know, there are a lot of mythical creatures. Like, a lot of them could be hanging out down
El Chupacabra,
dude,
probably kicking it down there.
Probably a couple of lizards.
Side note: shout out to Chubbs, my buddy Chubbs. He introduced me to the Momo. That is Missouri's own Bigfoot. We have our own species. So shout out to the Momo. And shout out to Chubbs. And for everyone that don't know, Missouri, especially, you're surprisingly one of the most squatchiest areas is Eureka. Eureka is very squatchy.
Really?
Yeah, if you want to go to the, I think it's BFRO.com or organization, that's like the Bigfoot organization. They have a map that shows you all the sightings. They're like little dots like on a map. And Eureka's really squatchy.
I think I'm going to need to call in on future episodes and talk about squatchiness because I'm going to Washington and I've heard.
Man.
Super, super uber squatchy.
God, they've done so many squatch episodes.
A lot of episodes there. Yeah. So I figure I'll be bumping elbows with them.
I mean, Northwest is like a hot spot, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
That's what I thought.
Nice, right?
Thick forest.
The closer you get up to that Canadian border, too, mm-hmm. up there. Oh, yeah. It's big time.
So, like, so
I'm going to practice my calls.
I was going to say, we're going to have to work on some of your calls, yeah. man. For sure.
It's like Portland. I heard there was a Squatch sighting in Portland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Supposedly, he's a cross guard.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a Squatch crossing guard up in Portland, Oregon. He's helping the small children in a community cross after school, and he dresses up in a full Squatch outfit, and his reasoning was, if they're going to stop for a creature like me, they should stop for the little creatures, too. It was a well-made point, I believe. He's doing a very good service for the Portland, Oregon community.
So, before we move on, I just talking about Joe trying to practice his calls really just got me thinking, and I want to leave everybody out there that's listening. If you don't know, you know, probably not as big as Bigfoot as we are, but if you don't know, there's multiple different kinds of calls. And if you ever watch the Finding Bigfoot on Animal Planet, which is the greatest show in the world, I'm going to play a clip right here of my homie Bobo from that. He's gonna show us a couple calls here just so you guys know like what we're talking about. Joe's going to be doing this in the middle of the woods in Washington in a week, just a heads up.
We have done these in the woods before. No success yet, but...
It'll happen.
I think up there I can get some good feedback.
I think so too, man.
Well... You know, if you don't get necessarily calls back, you know, you probably get some tree knocks. That's a big thing. Or you got to watch out because they're one of their other forms of communication is they throw rocks. So, I mean, they're not trying to hurt you, though. So just keep that in mind.
Oh, they're not trying to hurt you.
Oh, no, man. Bigfoots are very friendly creatures.
Very docile, very calm.
People really mistake their intentions because, you know, they like mess up campfires and stuff, like campsites and stuff, and they like will eat your food. They really like human.
They're hungry
food.
And they don't want their homes to be burned down.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
There we go.
Wow. That's a bad example, but that was Bobo.
Was that the Oklahoma lowriser?
Ooh, it might have been a lowriser.
There's a lot of names. There's names for these calls.
If we get into that, we'll be here all day. Yeah, I don't know. You know, what's his name? Cliff on that show. He loves though. It's like an Arkansas high screamer or something. It's one of them's like a something high screamer. It's like a piercing.
I'll have to do some research and see what's really popping.
Yeah, ask around
areas.
Whatever town you go to. Like for real, ask around because they'll probably the show will probably come back around. That you have town hall meetings and stuff. So it's a pretty big thing. But. All right, enough of Bigfoot. Let's move on. News stories. I'll start us off. Did you guys hear about this? I actually said something to you guys about the wearing down this. This guy in the Philippines, man, just about to be the next bazillionaire. Didn't even know it. The next bazillionaire, man. He had a pearl sitting under his bed for 10 years, okay? But it wasn't just a pearl, man. He's like some fisher in the Philippines just like found this pearl one day and was like, yeah, I'll put it in my bed. It's cool. I'll keep it. It's like his good luck charm. Yeah.
He doesn't search for pearls and sell them.
No, he's like, he just stumbled across this thing. Yeah. Well, turns out that this pearl is fucking 75 pounds. A 75-pound pearl. Okay.
I would hate to sleep on his bed. That had to be terrible.
What kind of fucking bed does this guy have?
Yeah, dude.
I'm amazed.
I don't think they have Tempur-Pedic there. I'm not sure.
Well, think if he sleeps with it under his bed.
It's under his bed. Like
dude, that's a lumpy, like, ow.
Yeah, the guy has
a lot of hay.
He's been sleeping on the couch, man. He's lying.
He's got some serious back problems if he hasn't been.
So, the other thing is nobody knew about this. He didn't tell anybody. It was a secret.
I don't know if he was, like, married or anything like that.
No one saw him carrying this 75-pound fucking thing. All right, but people are like, who cares, man? It's a big fucking... Here's the significance of this, okay? Let me put something in
perspective.
Little context. Yeah, perspective for you. The last record for the biggest pearl was 14 pounds. So he like...
Just easily shattered.
Yeah, he like quintupled that motherfucker. Like, okay. And this was in 2003. They found a 14-pound pearl. And it ended up going for $93 million.
Oh, who buys that?
Now, this is anything but credible. This is anything but credible. We're not doing math. We're not good at math. We're not going to do it for you. Yeah. But I'm just going to think about that. 14 pounds... Over 10 years ago, $93 million.
Yeah.
Now, 2016, we have a 75-pound fucking pearl, okay? I am going to estimate. I want to go around and say what that you guys estimate.
It says Price is Right rules.
Before, yeah, yes. But before we do that, I think they're... Oh, here we go.
Hey, hey, put your phone down.
Before, yeah, no. Before we do this, we go around. It says, for the end of this article says, for the record, a 75-pound pearl would be 170,000 carats. So if you want to talk about winning the lottery, this doesn't even. I'm going to go as far as to say that this is, my guess, I'm saying $1 billion.
Because
I'm just going, like, this is crazy. This is nuts.
See, I'm gonna go like Pawn Stars on this.
Okay. You're gonna lowball.
Just due to the fact that like, what are you gonna use it for? Like, all it's gonna be is a display piece. Yeah, that's all can be.
Well, yeah, it's just a museum, dude.
Like, but with even with the 14 pounder, someone's not wearing that around their neck.
Well, I understand that. Like, I'm just saying, like, the market was set for a 14 pound pearl at $93 million. So like. I don't think he's going to get a billion. He's going to get 100 plus million for sure.
That's it? 100 mil? They got
maybe like 300 mil. Like, what are you going to do with that?
What's 75 divided by 15? Oh, five, six, something?
Math on the spot.
Five or six or something in between, something like that? Oh. Dude, we're talking five times. Five times. And that was over 10 years ago.
Yeah. I'm saying 500 mil.
500? That's not bad. Yeah. What are you saying? What was your actual
My guess? Actual guess is like 300 million.
Okay, so Keith's saying 300, Joe's saying 500. I'm going crazy out of the roof, 1 billion. We'll see when this final price comes out. Guys, 170,000 carats, okay? Now, you guys know, we're at the age, people are getting married, you know, all the rings are about the carat size. I don't know what a carat goes for. We should probably have looked that up, but we're not credible sources.
No.
But I'm guessing it's a lot. And I don't know if you know how that relates to, you know, diamond carats to pearl. I don't know if that's the same thing. It's the
same size or what?
We don't know. Yeah. But this guy's about to get.
Did they say if it's like, I don't know what the qualities of a pearl are, like super white or.
I don't know. I don't know. No.
Maybe it's like, I mean.
It's super chalky looking.
Is it the best quality pearl? Because maybe that 14 pounder is pretty.
It looks like a quality pearl, man.
Yeah, it does look like a quality pearl.
It's not like damaged. It's white, you know. It's
yeah, it does look nice.
But I mean.
Very unique looking.
It doesn't look like a pearl. It looks like a giant boulder, man.
Yeah,
it looks does. It kind of looks like the bottom of the chair that they use in Game of Thrones, like the throne, dude.
Like, if that would have washed up on the shore and I saw it, I would have been like,
oh, that's a weird rock.
Thing. What is that thing?
This thing. Yeah, you wouldn't know. Okay, here's the other thing, too. The guy claims that he actually pulled it out of a fucking clam. That's what he said.
What?
Yeah, he said he. And me and Joe were talking. Is that a dinosaur?
Okay,
yeah.
So I just saw the picture. You can actually see the ridges of the clam.
Yeah, it was
like
a clam.
Like this clam had elephantitis.
Yeah.
Or something. Like
I think this guy found a dinosaur clam. Like, I really do.
Dude, I think the clam would have been a bigger prize than the pearl.
Yeah.
If he could have pulled that out of the water, man.
That's true. He should have definitely kept that.
Yeah, he should have kept that clam, man.
But, I mean, that's probably hard enough to bring that thing up to the surface, let alone a huge shell.
Yeah, how did he find it? Was he diving, or?
He's a fisherman. I guess he was, maybe, yes.
Came up in the net?
What's wrong?
Well, a lot of, in the Philippines, they eat a lot of stuff in, like, rocks and stuff like that. So they dive to
fish.
They don't actually, like, have a pole. No, they don't eat rocks, but they like, mussels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they don't, like, actually put a pole and reel something in. Well, they don't have time for that.
I figured it'd be a net.
Nobody got time for that.
That's all I thought it would be. Like, it came up in his net and then, like.
Nah, they're ripping stuff off the floor and eating it.
Either way, man. This guy, he's about to get paid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he should not give it up for, like, pennies on the dollar
or anything like that. I hope this guy does not play himself.
Costa Rica?
No, didn't. Was it you?
Philippines. Hopefully the government doesn't try and like.
They're already trying to like. Hey,
they are. They're trying to get them to sign it over.
Hand this over to us.
No. It says that in this. I hope he doesn't play himself, man. I really hope he doesn't do that to himself.
Dude, get your money, Mr. Fisherman. Mm-hmm. Set your family up.
Sell that for whatever, dude.
Yeah, get some like rich man to buy it, donate it to a museum.
You guys, I wish you guys like. I wish this. If you guys could just see me go for what my argument would be about how much I should get paid for this, it would be probably entertaining. But yeah,
just lawyering up, bro.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Keith, you got anything?
Yeah. A Seattle man. He might just be Batman. I don't really know.
Whoa.
He threw a batarang at a police car.
Whoa.
The other day. So I think Bruce forgot to put his suit on before he stepped out of the house one day. And
so you don't leave the house without a couple batarangs.
Yeah. He got caught up. Yeah, he's a 23-year-old guy, so it's most likely Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a prodigy, right?
Yeah. Most likely a prodigy. But yeah, he was wanted for felony assault charges.
What's he throwing at other people?
I heard this thing like.
Oh, he threw him at the cops. Like,
oh, right. Yeah. What, he just lodged like, it in the cop car, it's too.
Stuck in there. Like a piece of metal.
Like, oh, so it was actually like an iron bat.
Oh, he sharpened it.
Oh, yeah. I'll post it on Twitter after this, but there's a whole lot of news. Oh,
wow.
It is story.
Legit. Yeah. Wow. That's nice. Yeah.
So, you know, this guy had been practicing, like. He was just ready to go. Like, he was able to whip it out and fling it at a cop car. Like,
does it say
this guy was?
Does it say why he what reason for throwing it in the first place?
Yeah, he was wanted on felony assault.
Oh,
charges.
So he was already wanted. I thought he was wanted for throwing it at the cops.
After he threatened a bouncer with a homemade spear, that's why he was wanted for felony assault charges.
This guy's just MacGyver.
He needs to get out of the shop and stop making weapons.
This guy thinks he's in a superhero movie for real.
No, I think he is a superhero.
Dude, he could be.
His closet superhero. Don't they have superheroes up in Seattle already? Like, they got that one dude, the, like, MMA fighter going around, like, beating people up. And
I don't know about that.
Like, challenges them and everything.
Oh, really? No,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think his name's Phoenix something. Yeah, I'll look that up for next week. But there's definitely superheroes in Seattle.
Probably, man.
I don't think they have superpowers, but it's like a Kick-Ass type.
Yeah, Kick-Ass. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Watched about 5 minutes of Kick-Ass 2 the other night.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, the first one was cool though.
Yeah, it was miserable. That second one.
It was miserable, huh?
Yeah, I did not enjoy it. But yeah, watch out for the batarang up and in Seattle.
I'm gonna combine. I got two stories right here. I just want to combine real quick, and we can just say something about it because it's not anything to go in depth about. They're just like really fucking dumb things. But so this woman in Vietnam hired her friend. Was trying to get $100,000. She ended up saying she wanted a disability insurance or whatever. So she hired her best friend to cut off her arm or her hand and her foot.
That's some shameless stuff right there.
The funny thing is that her friend actually did it. She actually went to the hospital and was like, legit doesn't have a hand and doesn't have a foot. And they did like minor investigation into this and was like, yeah, this is fraud. You're not getting shit. So then she got stuck with the hospital bill and obviously didn't get any money.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I'm sure you just took a hacksaw to it. Like,
I don't know how that went down. But Joe, I'm not going to lie to you, man. If you said, hey, dude, I'm trying to get paid. I would not cut your fucking hand off. Same with you, Keith. I'm sorry, man.
I'd have to go power tool. You couldn't just like sit there with a hacksaw, you know. You gotta get a sawzall or circle saw, just like make it quick, just zoom.
Yeah, for sure. Or you get like a really sharp sword or something.
Oh, like a katana.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This other story that I'm gonna combine with is another international story. Let's see. Where is it from? Norway. This one's in Norway. This guy, I guess, was in a porta potty, and we've heard of people doing this before, where you drop your phone in the toilet, right?
Oh, I did hear about this.
Well, it just so happened that, you know, he's like, well, fuck, I'm going to go get it, which is very risky in a porta potty, because that is not just a toilet. Well, here's the thing. He went in there, and he got legit stuck.
Oh, like, he went head over heels.
And he went all the way in.
Oh, he couldn't just reach it with your arm?
Apparently not. I don't know. The fire department had to like they had to actually cut the thing in half and like cut him out. He was stuck.
It was a normal porta potty. I don't think I could fit in there.
Okay, well here's the kicker about this article too. It says this is the sentence. While his friend was using the toilet, his cell phone fell inside the toilet bowl, which is only emptied once a year.
Oh, wow.
And here's the ironic part. Is I guess the guy is like a well-trained diver, so that's why he went in for it.
I'm prepared.
So was it his friend that went in?
I think his friend dropped his phone, and he was like, dude, I'm a diver. I got it.
That is beyond best
true
friends.
Friendship. Yeah. This is complete opposite of the... I mean, we're talking friendship stories here. Like one cut their hand off. I'm gonna say this again. I love you guys both, but if you drop your phone in porta potty, I'm laughing and saying, no. Fuck you, man.
Yeah.
I might buy you a pair of gloves. That's about it.
He said he spent about... Only about an hour, so not the worst thing in the world.
An hour
in a porta potty?
Well, you think, like, if you get stuck, I guess that is a long time.
Dude.
You can start feeling moving.
I don't want to spend 1 minute more than I have to in a porta potty.
Okay, so I'm reading this fucking thing, and it says he suffered minor injuries from being stuck, like his arms and stuff, but as he came out, they noticed he had several animal bites.
If it's in there for a year
from being in there,
dude, probably a bunch of bugs and
snakes and what's floating around and shit.
Well, this thing is like who knows how they do the Norway's porta potties. No one.
Yeah,
who knows?
I mean, I'm thinking of a Johnny on the spot, like a real small one. Maybe
that's what we're thinking.
They might have like a hole in the ground.
Yeah, they might just be like a 10-foot hole.
Yeah,
that you just get, you know.
Okay.
So
like he dove in through the toilet though.
Yeah.
Like,
and then I guess, did you think he, I don't know, it doesn't really say, do you think he went all the way through and like got, or do you think he just got stuck like, it doesn't really say. Like,
yeah.
And obviously anything but credible right here. So,
yeah.
Now I'm picturing like a 10-foot hole, like kind of like a well of shit.
And maybe it's not necessarily like a toilet. Maybe it's just like a legit, like a big hole and a big enough hole to like get down in.
Yeah. And then they would empty it once a year because they have to like move the whole thing.
Or they have to like suck it, like vacuum it out, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
just freezes if it's normal.
By the way, sentence of the article says he did not get the fucking phone.
You're like, down there for an hour?
Why wasn't his buddy like calling the phone, like waiting for it to light up and everything?
Dude,
you know what I mean?
I think it's probably turning off.
I don't know how that happened, but man,
dude.
So you're not just in a pile of turds. You're just a lake. It's mostly water.
And there's animals. I mean, there's stuff down there though.
Just for the friend.
Who knows what's down there?
Ferrets.
Bro, I'm a diver. I got you. Like, what? No, that would never cross my mind.
Dude,
no.
Keith,
How about a net?
Yeah. Seriously.
It's too easy, man.
Yeah.
That would make too much sense, dude. Yeah.
Well, they might have to scrape the bottom, and it's probably not floating.
God,
it's sinking.
I'll tell you what, maybe it's just like you Norway guys are just fucking crazy over there, man.
Crazy dumb.
I'm thinking of those guys from like MTV. They had their own show.
The Dudesons?
Yeah, the Dudesons. Yeah. Shout out to Dudesons.
Were they Norwegian?
They were something like that.
Yeah.
They're insane.
They were insane. Yeah, those guys were crazy.
They would swim
and shit
for fun.
And shit, yeah.
They probably have already done that multiple times.
There's no doubt, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's probably the Dudesons.
So my two stories combined. Long story short, these guys, these people, Vietnam, Norway, way higher friendship levels than I can be on. So take that or leave it, man.
Good friendship, but pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very dumb.
I'm good friends with people. I'm thinking logically about.
Yeah, I'm like, man,
these
I'm
things
just,
we're doing.
Sorry,
nah,
dude.
Man.
Like,
let's go to the store.
We could
get some things.
I'd probably hit you with the like, oh, maybe next time.
Yeah. Rain check.
let me like go think about it for a while. I'll text you. I'll let you know.
I'll drive you to the store to get a new phone, but I am not diving in there. Yeah. There ain't no way.
Yeah, so I don't know. You got anything else, Keith?
No. I just have a Hoosier story.
Okay, well, before we get to the Hoosier story, I got one more before we get to that good stuff. And this will be quick too, because I don't actually have any audio for it. I wish I did, but I could not find this guy's music. But
some more from Michelle?
No, Misha, dude. Shout out to Misha. But the headline of this article,
I've been singing that song,
is fire captain earning $150,000, busted for having a secret rap career that using anti-police and firefighting lyrics. Okay.
Wow, that's a check real this out. Passive aggressive.
This guy, really. This guy in New York, man.
What's his name? What's his rap name?
Oh, his real name is Kasim Ryan. His rap name is, I think it's his rap name is K.A., I believe.
K.A.?
Weak
name.
I don't know if you pronounce it Ka or I don't know, but it's K.A. But so here's the thing. This guy's not just a firefighter. He's the fucking captain.
Oh God.
Okay. And he's the captain of the Bedford something in Brooklyn, in the firehouse in Brooklyn. And his yearly income was $148,500. This guy was making money.
Yeah.
Balling. Okay.
Good money for a firefighter, yeah.
Balling. Yep. Okay. Now anyone around here, we'd be like, you're rich as fuck.
Yeah, we got a pretty low housing cost or whatever.
Yeah.
This guy owns a $1.25 million house. He is balling. This guy's balling, man.
Okay, yeah.
But.
Got a studio in that million-dollar house,
got
apparently.
A studio. And guess
obviously,
what?
Obviously, man.
If you got a studio.
You're going to lay down some fresh beats.
You got to record some shit.
Yeah, no doubt.
And if you record some shit, can you honestly just keep it to yourself? No. You got to release it. Oh, so the world knows that K.A., is bringing the heat, man.
He's dropping knowledge about.
He's feeding the streets. He's feeding the streets. But this guy wasn't just feeding.
Oh, you know what though? Small theory. His shit's probably so fire. You know, when you play it, when you put it in your CD player, probably fucking lights it up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Just sparks it on fire.
Oh, for sure.
Oh. And then he's a fireman.
Job security.
So, yeah, it's job security.
Had to come and put it out.
Yeah.
Dude. Now, see, that would be a very good way to think about it if he wasn't singing fuck the police.
Yeah.
Well,
I know, I mean, there's like Guns and Hoses.
Beef? Yeah.
There is a little rivalry between cops and firefighters, but.
That's true. They do have the yearly firefighter police softball games around
softball,
here.
Softball, boxing.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's right.
But this is a whole nother level of hate.
Yeah, this is commitment. Was it hate? He had anti-firefighter lyrics too?
That's what it said, but it only. You know, this is anything but credible, so we don't have the best sources. But
how can you hate a firefighter?
There is. They did add one quote, one line, one of his bars.
I would like to hear.
It says, "Fuck them cops and SWATs with night vision. I see your traps and your plots to dead us."
Wow.
Because he was all about. This says that he's about the ghetto life. So even though he's balling out in that $1 million home, having that $150,000 yearly. Salary.
Hey man, it's hard out here.
Well, unlike most of our other stories, this one gave us a little bit of personal information to ID him. So if you want to go on Twitter, his thing is at Brownsville KA. That's his thing. So if you hear this and you want to say something to him, tweet him and give our show a shout out too, because we just. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sure not a whole lot of
this guy. This guy had the life, but man, the rap yeah, life.
So did he get
the
fired?
Streets just kept pulling him.
Yeah,
back,
they,
man.
They fired him. Oh yeah.
I mean, it's hard to stay off the streets, dude. Streets is
when you got a calling like that. You gotta.
Yeah, you gotta drop everything and like just go after your dream. I guess
you want to talk about just addiction to the rap life, man.
Like Kasim the Dream. That's what his rap name should have been.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that. Good. I wonder if Lil Wayne was his
inspiration fireman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
I think the streets are his inspiration.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Even though it's hard to see those hard to see those streets from that
$1 million
nice suburb you're in. Yeah. But yeah, so. I
nice
funny.
Balcony. You can see plenty of them.
That's probably true. He probably sees the whole city, actually.
Yeah, really.
He's got a city
probably
over
real there. Nice view.
I don't know. How much is $1 million getting you in New York?
That's
I'm
true.
Guessing
it's probably like a loft or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably is like a high rise or something. I don't know.
Probably still pretty nice.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely still nice. Anything, if you're spending $1 million on anything, it better be nice.
Yeah, this guy's making a year. I might not make that my lifetime. The guy made it a year and just shit it all away because he wanted to rap. Come on, man. Come on, man.
You want to just trade spots?
Hey, let me take over and I'll I would be the happiest man. God damn. All right, Keith, what do you got? Hoosier story of the week?
Oh, yeah, I got the Hoosier story of the week. This is a local Hoosier story, too, man.
St. Louis?
Oh, yeah. Yay. Yeehaw, baby. All right. We're still on flaming topics, too, so...
Cool.
This guy was caught stealing a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos from a gas station.
Oh, this made national news.
Did it make national news?
Yeah, wow. it was a big story, actually.
Okay, all right.
So we're a little late to the party on this one.
Well, yeah, it's been 2 weeks. But, yeah, so he stole a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos. And when the store clerk caught him, took the bag back and, you know, put it back on the shelf or whatever, he decided he was going to burn down the gas station.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. You can't take a man's Flaming Hot Cheetos and not expect.
Embarrass me like that?
Yeah.
And take something out of my hands.
So what did he do? He go straight for the gas.
He went straight to the gas pump. Yep. Ripped the hose off. Nice. Let the gas flow. Fucking lit that motherfucker on fire. Wow.
Well, where he made the mistake.
Wow.
Is that he tried to indie it. He wanted Indian to Jones it. Made the gas trail.
Oh.
Sick. Yeah. He tried to light it with cigarettes.
And everyone knows it's a myth. You can't light it with a cigarette, man. You cannot light the gasoline.
Try to just do the flick and walk.
Yeah.
Never. This guy watched. He watched way too many movies. Yep.
Everybody knows it's all about the Zippo,
mm-hmm.
the spark, and then the throw, man.
Obviously, the guy's never seen Zoolander.
Yeah. Gas fight.
Okay, but... So did he spray, like, inside the store? Was it, like... I think
As far as he could spray from the hose. Yeah.
Did anything actually ignite? No, because he tried doing the cigarette. God...
So close.
Hey, shout out to St. Louis and believing in myths, man.
I'll post this on Twitter, but this guy did not want his picture taken. He's got both his eyes closed.
Oh, they're holding his face up.
They're holding his face. So yeah, I'll post this story.
What's this guy's name? Did he got a name in there? We might know him.
Excuse me. Is the manager's name Joshua Krug? No, I think it's the guy's name. Yeah. Yeah, his name is Joshua Crook. And, he's Mr. Flamin' Hot.
He's definitely got the coolest nickname on the streets. But I gotta shout out to Joshua real quick, man. Let me say something to you, man. I hear where you're coming from. Like, I hear where the thought came from. Because, listen, somebody to try and take some Flamin' Hot Cheetos from me. That's a problem, man. So the thought there, I'm with you. The action. Next time, let's just take a breather.
Okay? Oh yeah.
But the thing is that they were never his.
Yeah.
Oh, he tried stealing them.
Yeah. He tried stealing them.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah, I missed that part.
But just think of like how many movie quality lines he could have said before he fucking threw that cigarette. Like,
I want to know. Did they say that he said anything?
I don't think so.
God, you're right though. He could. He,
I bet there's just a lot of like.
Oh yeah. You're gonna take unaudible. My Flamin' Hots. Bam.
Your turn. Be
feel
Flamin'
the
Hot.
Burn, bitch. Yeah.
You're Flamin' Hot, bro. Yeah. Wow.
Feel
awesome.
The heat.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
Nice. Joe's been thinking about this.
He's coming with that heat, bro.
First time he heard this, he's like,
I'm so glad I won this contest. Come on.
Hey man, you're the number one super fan. So
yeah, super fan. We're gonna miss you in Washington, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely gotta stay in contact.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, share it to the Washington people, man. It, just so you know. You know, we're big in the Bigfoot. Well, we're trying to be big in the Bigfoot community. Yeah.
We're definitely to like look at the area meetings on Squatch.
Yeah.
Scratching.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Animal Planet, they got that shit on like.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's funny. So shout out to St. Louis and if you're a little late on that, or if we're a little late on that, I mean, and you got comments or anything, like, don't send it to Facebook, Twitter. We got the Gmail. Send us some emails. anythingbutcredible@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, comments, anything like that. Moving on. I think I think you guys realize that if it's Hoosier Store of the Week, then it's only right that we go to the Florida Store of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to Florida!
Okay. We are going to Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
last week, or 2 weeks ago, last episode, we mentioned the homie. One of the all... I mean, if we could make a list of classic Florida people, this dude would be on one. And he goes by the name of Dr. Love.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're going to play a short clip here to let you guys know. We'll give you a little heads up before we dive into it. Okay, so check this out.
Dr. Love is in the news again because he is facing additional charges for posing as a doctor and basically carrying out fraudulent activities that scammed elderly people out of tens of thousands of dollars. Now, Malachi is the person that we're talking about. Malachi Love Robinson, who again would make himself out to be some sort of doctor who went to med school when in reality he's not a doctor at all. In fact, a 19-year-old dreamer was arrested for larceny and fraud for posing as a doctor during previously scheduled court appearance.
He's 19.
The self-appointed Dr. Love allegedly racked up between $20,000 and $100,000, by the way, huge disparity there, in ill-gotten gains as well as passing a bad check. Now, he had gotten arrested back in February, if you guys can remember, and the latest charges actually predate that. So they found that he did more illegal stuff before what he got caught in February for.
This dude was like 15.
So it's insane. And look, the press interviewed him.
Okay, I just need to say this. Only in Florida is this guy getting away with this. Florida.
There's so many old people and so many doctor offices down there that flew right under the radar.
Oh, yeah.
Even to make, like she said, the $10,000 to $100,000, that's a big gap. But yeah. Even to make money in the first place, to make a dollar blows my mind. This kid was 19, and she said it predated. So that was a year ago. It predated before that. So we're talking like a maybe 15 to 16-year-old fucking kid acting like a doctor. And Keith, can you do us a favor? And they didn't say this here, but what kind of doctor was Dr. Love?
He was an OBGYN and also what else was it? Oh, psychologist. So
not only
we had a double doctorate.
Not only was these people paying money to go to the doctor, they were going to a gyno.
Yeah,
God. And have you? I don't know about you, but I've never like written a check directly to the doctor's name. It's like what's your name exactly? I know there's multiple doctors in this office, but I'm just gonna give you the money.
Well, that goes to add to the Florida people. Just write this out to who? Dr. Love. Okay, I'll write that.
Love Robinson.
So people went to this guy. They believed him, and what she was about to say in the video is. And I've seen multiple videos. You guys can YouTube this too and find it. They interview him multiple times. He's been on talk shows after this and even in the courtroom and all this stuff. He is rock solid. I didn't do anything wrong. He actually said, and one of the things that we looked at was saying that just because there is a DR period in front of your name doesn't necessarily mean that you're a doctor.
Little gray area, he thinks.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. It's not his. Listen. Listen,
he did shadow other doctors.
So you gotta give him a little credit for getting the hustle, but at the same time, you're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
So
like, you just gotta think like, this is not obviously normal, but it's kind of scary. It's fun. I mean, like, I think they said that the person that busted him was an 86-year-old woman. You know, something, the oldest woman probably that went to him. But like she was saying in the video though, or she was about to say. In every instance that this kid has been interviewed or in the courtroom or anything, he just never said, I'm not wrong. I'm just doing medical practices.
So can you like just put a prefix in front of your name, even if you've earned it or not? Can I be Dr. Keith?
It's a good question. Does the kid have a solid point with that? Can just like DR?
I don't think you just be Sir Keith. You have to be knighted.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's probably why. Well,
I'm American royalty, so.
Oh wait, I lied. I actually
just thought my prefix is man.
Yeah,
I, uh, I lied, guys. I know he actually, this is really dumb. It wasn't an 86-year-old woman. She went to the cops, and then they did a undercover
sting.
Yeah, they went to sting and got him.
Yeah.
And then let him out, and then he ended up doing it again. He went back to the same practice.
It was a hospital, right? It wasn't like a...
I think it was just like a clinic type deal, like an urgent care type.
Yeah, an urgent care. Yeah.
Like other, so he had to fool other doctors that were, you know, because they have a...
I don't know if it was at a place like that. I honestly think it was just like in his living room or something. You know how like in Soulard? You know how like in Soulard they have all these places that are just
so like
a house?
Sign in his front yard like, hey.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. There's no... I mean, any logical... Like, if you're in the medical field, whatever, even if you're the receptionist, you have to be somewhat educated person. Yeah. There's no way that they're
like, if he fooled other doctors, like, oh, yeah, I got my degree from, you know, I don't know what school, you know, prestigious school. And they're like, oh, really? Do you have this teacher? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
That would really go to people.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah. Like, even if the Florida doctors
Florida doctors, I think they just give out pain pills anyways. Like, this could make sense.
Ryan Lochte's been on the receiving end of some of those, I bet.
That was actually, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. But this kid reminds me of like Frank Abagnale, the Catch Me If You Can guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I gotta give, like, even though it's fucked up, that's what I was saying. You gotta give him credit. I mean, he was slick with it.
Dude.
He made money.
Yeah, he did.
And he was probably gonna lose him in the end.
10 and 100,000.
And he had multiple customers, multiple. And the hustle is real because, like I said, they locked him up and he went back out and did the exact same thing. And people were still going to him. No one knew about it.
Grandma and grandpas weren't watching the news down there.
No. So if you're out there, go out to YouTube and check out Dr. Love being arrested. I think he went on like fucking Dr. Drew. He went on like these talk shows they called him.
Money off of all of those shows.
Exactly.
Too.
It's just like, guys.
Any press is good press.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yep.
Especially if you're Dr. Love, man.
I wonder if he's going to actually go to school now, become a doctor, you know, change his
life.
Or
if he's, like, banned. Like, he kind of ruined your chance. You're barred from the doctor world.
Yeah, it's kind of already malpractice before he even starts, isn't it?
Kind of untrustworthy.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, he's being honest.
Yeah. Dr. Love. But I'm about to pull a surprise on you guys right now.
Oh, yeah?
And you know what we got this week? A double Florida story of the fucking week.
We are going to Florida!
Now, I really wish Griff was here for this. He's going to get a kick out of this. But we've talked multiple times about possibly the king of Florida, Ryan Lochte.
Oh, yeah.
I came across this just a couple days ago, popped up on Twitter, and I could not help. I had to say, we're doing this double whammy Florida Story of the Week.
Oh, Chia?
We're bringing the Chia back. Now, we have...
Proud to say I watched one episode of that show.
You're proud to say that?
And I didn't watch any more.
I think it only made it to like four, didn't it? I don't even know if it did a whole season.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong. But anyway... we have stated multiple times that the king of Florida himself, Ryan Lochte, a displeasure? I don't know how... I wouldn't say that we hate him.
The guy.
We he just does Lochte things. Yeah. And of course...
I definitely don't like him.
Well, guys, I got news for you.
Not his biggest fan.
He came out with another Lochte thing. We know that he... this stuff, he lost four of his... his major endorsements.
Speedo and all that.
Yeah.
He's got a new one. And I want to play this commercial for you.
Oh, I thought for sure it'd be a porn site. Okay.
The commercial is just him standing there, holding this thing, talking, but pay attention to what he's saying, okay?
All right.
I've been traveling a lot lately. We all like to have fun, but it's a good idea to stay safe. I don't go anywhere without RoboCop. It's this tiny device. All you do is pull the pin, and it releases a startling alarm that can get you out of a bad situation.
That's annoying. Wow.
Okay. Is this real? I don't know. But he said yes to it, and so I have to just do this. Okay.
That's so dumb.
I've been traveling a lot lately. Okay, that's funny. You're a dick. Okay. And the whole thing is this will get you out of a bad situation. Rip. Now, okay. If I'm Lochte, okay.
If I'm his publicist,
do you say do this?
I would say no.
You say make Ryan.
Make people forget about.
Well, I mean, I think it's nice though. Like he's poking fun at himself at least. You know what I mean?
Okay, see that's one way to look at it. That's one way to look at it.
Well, he doesn't know that, but his agent definitely does. You know what I mean?
But why? But I don't think that people aren't just like, ah, ha, 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 you know, they're like, ah.
I mean,
are they? I'm not. Maybe it's just me. I'm like, fuck you.
It made me giggle a little bit.
See, I don't know.
I think I'm just more amazed that he did it. Like, the whole time I listened to what he said, all I could think of that, I was a dickhead that kicked in a door. So this product would not have helped me at all because I was just an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, I don't support a pissed drunk 32-year-old man fucking up a bathroom in Brazil.
I just don't find it funny. I'm more on the side of like,
it's a glorified rape whistle.
Well, the whole thing was like, it could get you out of a bad situation. Like, no, you're just a fucking douche, man. Like, no, you're just a loser, dude. You're a rich loser who's good, really, really good at swimming. And I mean, obviously, I can't talk shit because I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not a gold medalist.
I'm not lacting.
Yeah.
But,
does he need that money for that endorsement, or do you just want to get his face out
there?
That's
what I'm saying. That's where the publicist comes and it's like, Ryan, what really do you want to do this for? Yeah. Are you trying to do what he says and do like the joke? Are you going for the money? Or I mean, like, why does this need to happen?
Like I said, though, I don't think he's thinking of any of this. There's somebody, he's just a puppet, and there is a puppet master.
I know, but the whole thing is like,
you know what I mean?
Listen, the guy might
squeeze every last dime out of him before he shits the bed.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know he's just the puppet, but he can count to like 2 + 2. I just feel like he has to be able to like know. Like, this might. Also, side note, this is anything but credible. So we actually don't know if this is a real thing. This might just be a completely fake thing. It might be.
But if you come out with a real joke after that, like, that's distasteful. That's like, this has to be a real product.
This whole commercial is a joke, though. That's what it's supposed to be, is a joke on that incident. I'm like, fuck you. Because this is a joke. He says, I've been traveling a lot. We all like to stay safe, but this will get you out of bad situations. Fuck you, dude.
Here's a thought. Don't get hammered at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning and go fuck up a bathroom.
Yeah, dude. Like,
why don't you just not put yourself in that situation?
Right. You just like, no, dude.
But I didn't know swimmers got turnt like that, man. Like, Michael Phelps gets turnt.
Every Olympic athlete, I think, gets turnt like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's all they talk about in Olympic Village. Just
Olympic Village is a crazy place.
Well, I knew it was like a 2-week orgy in Olympic Village, I didn't know it was like that. Just getting wasted before, like, night before your events and
done.
I'm sure he was done with his events, but I'm talking like I heard other athletes' stories. Yeah. Like,
that got sent home before he even got to compete because he went out.
Yeah, you don't even. Yeah, but as far as like partiers go, you know, there's certain sports that you just think would be swimmers. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Durs from Workaholics is a swimmer, right? I don't know. That's
true. Sure, he's down for anything.
Yeah. I was like, this mother. No way. But he did it, and it is a classic lactic move.
If anyone's gonna do it, he'd be the fucking guy.
Yeah, I mean. Listen, some people are gonna. Me and you are on the embarrassment side. Like, screw you, dude. Keith's like the funny. Hey, at least he's poking fun. You know, everyone's gonna think different.
If it hasn't sunk in that he fucked up yet, that's on him.
But it was like you were saying, though. Was it Griff saying about the forgiveness thing, though? Like, I don't know if people like.
I'll forgive him eventually. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he killed somebody. Yeah, like, true. He fucked up a bathroom in Brazil.
Yeah. Oh, he's not Ray Lewis, dude.
That's really not the big deal. It's the
actually,
line.
Ray Lewis got forgiven
like,
pretty hard.
Every athlete, you know, it's not a big deal if you did it, if you cheated.
It's just don't lie.
Yeah, see,
don't lie,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're untrustworthy. You're a douche.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you have it, man. We got the Hoosier story of the week, the Florida story of the week out of the way. Before we wrap this thing up, any last thoughts, any shout outs, anything that you want to get out there before we say goodbye?
Yeah, shout out to Joe, man. Gonna miss you, bud.
Yeah, shout out to
Joe.
Have
fun up in Washington. I know you're going to be working, but enjoy.
I have an advisory for people with Roombas.
Roombas?
Uh-oh.
You know, like the vacuum?
Yeah. What's going on?
If you have a Roomba.
Wait, is that the self-moving one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's like the little circular thing?
Yeah, if you have that and pets, it could be a bad combination.
Oh.
There's a story that Like they had it set for like 1 a.m, and the dog, you know, had an accident, went number 2 on the carpet, woke up later in the day, and there was just a 40-foot trail of dog shit throughout the house.
Oh, dude.
That is so funny.
So just be careful out there if you have dogs and Roombas. Try and keep them separate.
If what a shitty situation.
Jeez. If you're, I mean, first of all, you know what? I'm going to take the old man approach to this, but if your dog's shitting in your house, I don't know, kind of.
It was like one.
I deserve
it was like,
that.
Yeah. It was like, it's true.
You get what you asked for, man. True. No, but yeah, for sure, that is good. That's funny.
I think there needs to be a PSA on that.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to get out there.
You know what I wonder, though? Like, at least you get to check, like, what does the Roomba, does it get all of it? Or does it, like, just go certain areas? You know what I mean? Because that's what I've always wondered about the Roombas.
I'm not sure how that
works. Goes everywhere besides, like, stairs.
Does it actually get, like, everything? You know what I mean? Because it seems like it's just, like, aimlessly wandering around, picking up random
you've probably
spots.
Done the thing where like, you just turn it on and you start watching for 5 minutes. Like, well, this is just random. But it actually maps out the house in its head.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. So, like, the first time it just hits a wall, turns, hits a wall, and in its head, it's calculating the feet, and it makes a blueprint in its computer system.
Oh, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I just got educated on Roombas.
Yeah, Roombas. Shout out to Roombas, man.
There's actually a map of this guy's house that was affected by the shit. So, I'll have to send it to you and put it on Twitter.
I'll put it on the Twitter.
Yeah, we should do that. We'll put it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, and we'll let you guys check that out.
Thanks for the heads up, Joe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. I'll never Roomba and dog shit again.
Yeah, make sure your dog's out the house.
Baby. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I don't have any shout-outs or anything like that. So I think if you guys don't have anything, any last statements or anything like that, I think we're going to close it out. To everybody out there, appreciate you guys sticking with us for the off week. We should be pretty steady from here on out. Don't have anything that I can think of. But if something comes up, obviously, we'll let you guys know through those multiple outlets that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. As Key said, thanks to Joe for coming out, man. We appreciate you subbing in, filling in for Griff. Hopefully he's not dead. But in this case, we'd have to find somebody else. Let's just not go down that road.
He's fine. He's fine. He sleeps a lot. I lived with the kid for a year.
He's just resting,
bro.
He does a lot of hibernating.
Well, it's like the first week when we went through the initial, nicknames and stuff, or AKAs. One of them was Timmy Two-Turnt. And we all know Timmy gets a little two-turnt.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he got a little two-turnt. You know, he's just, I don't know.
This was a couple days in the making, so.
Yeah, you know, Griff. You never know. But, yeah, so thanks to Joe for coming out. We're going to wrap this up. So I guess we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Peace out, world.
Peace out.